of mercy against his attributes of justice and vice versa. You have to just daven and relate to Hashem as Hashem, as is, as a whole, without trying to separate parts out.
You mean yesterday?
Yesterday? Oh, okay, whatever it was, Monday. So the... So that's the second principle, and the like the first principle, this is an explicit mitzvah in the Torah. The first principle is Anochi Hashem. The first principle, which is the belief in the existence of God, is Anochi Hashem Elokecha. The second principle is the principle of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Know that there is one God. Those are two mitzvahs in the Torah, which happen to coincide with the Rambam's two principles, principle one and principle two. The rest of the principles are not necessarily explicit mitzvahs in the Torah. Maybe one or two of them are, but generally speaking, they're not mitzvahs. The first two are mitzvahs. And that's why, you know, we have the principle that there are six constant mitzvahs. There are six mitzvahs which one can constantly fulfill one's entire life. And one of them is the belief in Hashem. That's the principle number one. And the another one of them is the belief in the oneness of Hashem. The second principle. The other four are love of Hashem, which is not one of the Rambam's principles. It's an attitude we're supposed to have. Awe of Hashem, also not one of the Rambam's principles. To know that there is none other besides Hashem, which is related to the oneness of Hashem, but not precisely the same thing.
You usually use the copy image to copy some Hebrew.
Right, usually. And then we have the negative command, which is one of 613 mitzvahs, not to follow one's heart or and one's eyes. So those are the mitzvahs. Anytime you think about belief in Hashem, love of Hashem, awe of Hashem, the oneness of Hashem, not to follow your heart or your eyes, and that there's no other power besides Hashem, you are fulfilling one of those six constant mitzvahs. Again, the only two of them which appear in the 13 principles of the Rambam are existence of Hashem and the oneness of Hashem, but all the rest of them are mitzvahs in the Torah.
So if I just sit at your elbow and besides God, and I just think about Hashem, how great and wonderful and how one is and how much love I have for Hashem, then I'm doing mitzvahs all day long.
All day long, right.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Why is it pure Hashem love?
It is. Then did I skip that? I said awe. I don't like the word fear. I don't like fear. Fear is not because in Judaism there's the word yira, which is the Hebrew word for fear, also serves for awe. And so really, you're not supposed to be afraid of God in the same sense as you're afraid of, let's say, a lion. Right? You're supposed to have awe of Hashem. You're not supposed to be afraid that he can punish you and that he's dangerous, but rather you're supposed to be in awe of his majesty. So I usually prefer to use the word awe over the word fear. Okay? But they all one and the same. The Mishnah Berurah, right at the beginning of the Sefer, is really the Mishnah Berurah taken from the Sefer HaChinuch. That's the whole point of the six constant mitzvahs. Yeah, you can do these mitzvahs anytime, anywhere, at all times, in all places. Most of these mitzvahs also you could do even if you're a place for a camel and Torah, for example, the bathroom. You can think about, you know, your belief in God. You're all
right. Not
in a way which has to learn it.
But how do you distinguish?
Oh, you don't learn a text. You don't think of a text.
So if I'm in the bathroom and I just think, oh, Hashem's great, Hashem's wonderful, and my awe of Hashem, am I allowed to think about these things in the bathroom?
Yeah.
Good?
Yeah. You're only allowed to speak of them. You're not allowed to say about them.
We're not supposed to talk in the bathroom.
Right. So you can do it very differently in the bathroom. Thank you.
Okay? So those are the first two. The third principle, let's go on to the third principle of the Rambam. The third principle, the next principle is in the Yigdal, so it's up here between page 12, I don't know, I'm limited to what page it is.
12 or
14.
Next principle is a lo d'musa gufa in a guf, lo na'ik lo kusha. So we have no semblance of body, nor is he corporeal, nor has his holiness any comparison. Let's see how the Ami Mamin puts it. The Ami Mamin says on page 140 something, 78. I believe with complete faith. I've already brought snow that the God in no group does not have a body, no physical. Is not affected by physical phenomena, vanish in the lion crowd, and there is no comparison whatsoever to him. This is a very interesting principle because it is subject to a very famous machlokes, very famous dispute between the Rambam, and his famous antagonist, the Rabbi, Rabbi Avraham ben David, a rabbi from Provence in southern France, who was a contemporary of the Rambam and did not like the Rambam's writing of the Mishnah Torah. And when the Rambam in Mishnah Torah, in the third paragraph of Hilchos Tshuva, writes that somebody who believes that God has a body or has a bodily form is a heretic. He's a min, right, which means a heretic. Which means that the Rambam loses his portion in the world to come. The writer writes notes to the Rambam and argues with the head of the Rambam. And the writer there argues with the Rambam and he says that this is not the case. Because, he says, many people who are greater than the Rambam made the mistake and thought God had a body. Why did they make the mistake? Because they were led astray by the psukim, by the verses in the Tanakh, in the Bible. And more, he says, by the stories in the Gemara and in the Medrash, which distort people's views and opinions. Very strong language. So he says that a person who believes that God has a body cannot be classified as a heretic. He can just be classified as a person who is wrong. Okay? It's not right to believe that God has a body, but it's not your fault, because how are you supposed to know better? So therefore, you can... you don't lose your portion of the world to come. As a result, I assume that that's what the Rambam is coming to say, because the punishment is not as harsh as the Rambam meets out for the person. It's important to stress that the Rambam does hold, though, that it is a mistake to believe that God has a body, even though he's been led astray, and it's a natural conclusion, it's an erroneous conclusion. There's a famous statement by Rav Chaim Zwicker, Chaim Soloveitchik, who was very famous for having been a sefer answering a lot of the questions of the Rambam to ask the Rambam explaining what issue they argue about, and Rav Chaim Zwicker is supposed to have said in explaining the Rambam here that the Rambam here holds that nevech apikores is oicha apikores. If somebody is unfortunately an apikores, meaning a heretic, he's still a heretic, right? So there's a rabbi that says, you know, it's his misfortune, it's not fair, right? He's making a mistake. So the Rav Chaim said, yeah, but tough luck, that's right. Right? They had asked, you have a handicap, but the handicap is real. So you unfortunately are an apikoros, but still, an apikoros is an apikoros. That's how the...
You can't walk, it's not your fault.
Right.
You still can't walk.
Right, so the same thing that Chaim says. A person who believes that God has a body, according to the Rambam, he might be an unfortunate apikoros, and maybe God will be lenient with him, but still, technically and strictly speaking, he is in the category of apikoros. Now, there is a remarkable statement which is made by the P.R. Setzner. P.R. Setzner was the Rebbe in Setzner, who was ultimately the worst of ghetto in the Second World War and was killed at Auschwitz. And he writes in one of his stories, he says, you know, obviously Judaism has a problem, which we've talked about in the past, which is how to battle with kavana. How do you battle with kavana? Let's say you close your eyes, right? So what are you supposed to focus on? Now, if you were a goy, you were a Christian, not a Muslim, but a Christian at least, then you would have no problem because you could take the little icon with you, you know, your cross, your picture of a saint, you know, the yashka hanging on the cross, something very graphic and very exciting, and focus on that. And that would be, you know, a very, very strong, graphic image which you could dive in front of. You know, you can go to what's called, what was that movie called? What? The Passion, right? So, you go there and dive with a lot of kavana, watching just on the screen, getting, you know, whatever, bloodied up. And that would be very exciting and very moving, and you probably would dive in with great fervor. But in Judaism, we have a problem, which is that we are not allowed to assume that God is anybody, nor are we allowed to daven anything other than God. So therefore, we're stuck. We have to daven to this abstract, undefinable entity, and there's no way that I can close my eyes, or keep them open, that matter, and depict the entity to which I am davening, right?
How the hell would I do that? Why can't one daven to an abstract?
It's very hard. Imagine, you know, it's not easy to try to have a conversation with the abstract, right? You ever tried to have a conversation with an abstract before?
No, I mean, it's just that you focus your prayers on outside.
What?
Everything.
They get very diffused when you just focus on outside. Have you not had that experience?
Mm.
That it's hard to daven with kavana because your prayer, you don't have anything specific you're addressing? You never had that problem?
Yeah, addressing God.
But yeah, you know what I mean. In other words, it's not necessarily personal. If I address you, you address me.
Oh, you're like an image, like an image of a giant throne or something.
Right. So it's hard because really, well, all you can focus on in Judaism is the words, and the words are not exciting, right? Well, wait, actually, so the attester says, I mentioned this last time last year, most of the words were here, but I think Alex was there. The attester says that what you can do if you are having trouble having kavana during davening, focusing your attention, you can rely on the rivet. What does it mean you can rely on the rivet?
You're an idiot.
So what?
It means I can say, well, I'll just be an idiot now and
right. Conjure up a picture of God in my mind, right? You know, an old man with a pipe, whatever you want to do. So if you want to actually conjure up God's picture in your mind, according to the group of PSS, is that you can rely on the right, then assume it's not heretical. I was shocked when I saw this. Somebody told this over to me a couple of years ago, and I didn't believe it, actually. I said, it couldn't be. But lo and behold, it is there. So he says that you can rely on the right, even though the right himself says it's a mistake. It just says it's not heresy. But you can rely on the rivet and you can focus on this image you give God in your mind and dive into that image.
Isn't that image the cat?
Yes.
Thank you, little kitten.
Yes, if you wanted to think God is a cat, that would be an interesting psychological issue that you have. But, you know, I don't know, cats might not be so good because I think the ancient Egyptians worshipped cats.
Right. Would it be considered going like the rivals, for instance, if someone were to imagine them like a 400-story tall throne in front of them, but since they're at the base, they can't see what's really on the throne.
Well,
not any like with this picture of like a giant, but not really the image of the giant himself, just his chair, basically.
It's not as controversial as Kate Sarai was speaking about, but it's a variation on the theme, right? Even imagine the throne. Is that now Nevi'im were shown visions of God in a throne, but they didn't dive into those visions. Those visions which they got were mishalim, were metaphors, were parables, were ways in which they were supposed to understand certain things, and they're not supposed to dive into your vision. You dive into Hashem. They got visions in order to explain them certain secrets and certain ways in which the world works. But they wouldn't be allowed to daven to them. And we'll assume that you're not allowed to daven to your vision. But according to the Piatetsu, you are. You can make a picture in your mind and daven to that. There is even an earlier machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. Maimonides and Nachmanides. Let's say you were a Jew walking in the desert, right, at the time of the Exodus from Egypt. And you saw in front of you during the day, what did you see?
Cloud
of glory, pillar of smoke. And at night, what did you see?
Pillar of fire.
Could you go to the pillar of fire and kill yourself and say, blessed are you, God our Lord, and prostrate yourself before it or not?
No.
So if I said my place, right? Mm. So who do you think says what?
Rambam
says yes. The Shekhinah is my presence, because that's really what the cloud and the pillar of fire were. The divine presence is not God. It's something which was created by God in order to demonstrate that He is connected to us. So to say, according to Rambam, to say, Baruch atah Shekhinah melech ha'olam is heresy. You can't make a bracha to the Shekhinah.
So the Shekhinah is like an angel, sort of?
What? It's a representation of God. It's not God. It was like a barometer. I don't know if barometer is the right word, a thermometer, but something which indicates that the presence of God in the place. But it's not actually God.
Okay.
But according to the Ramban, the Shechina and the Ramban is very difficult. I have to tell you, I don't understand the Ramban. I really don't. I think it's a very controversial way to approach things. But he said that the Shechina is Hashem. It's an extension of Hashem. And therefore, if you want to say Baruch HaKadosh Shechina, you'll be able to say that. Right? That's what he says. And he says the Shechina is... embodiment is the wrong word. He said he has body in there. But it's some sort of crystallization, an extension of Hashem, and therefore you could dive in actually to the pillar of fire of the pillar.
The cup is also an extension.
No, but not directly. In other words, you don't perceive it as being an extension of Hashem, but you would perceive the pillar
it's
of fire.
If
they heard the voice of God in the desert, they would hear it from the pillar of fire and the pillar of smoke. So there was a perception of that being, you know...
Granted,
right. But I'm trying to tell you what the Ramban says. So according to that you could dive in the Shechina. There actually is a Mordechai David song, a Yiddish song, if I don't remember the lyrics precisely, where it says he dives to the Shechina HaKadosh. Right? I don't think you'll find that anywhere in our actual literature. You find that Mordechai David song. So therefore, it was that the song would be legitimate according to the Ramban, but according to the Ramban, that's another song which is the Rebbe. What did I say? Another song? Because, what? Yeah, because this principle also, the principle that God has no body, makes an even more basic song heretical, and that is the song, the children's song. You know it's one, right? Anybody ever hear, Shem is here, Shem is there, Shem is fully everywhere?
No?
Yeah. Shem is here, Shem. Hashem is here, Hashem is there. Hashem is truly everywhere. Hashem is here. Do you know the song, Mom?
Yeah. Daddy, it's
the door. So that song is also radical because it implies that God is physical, right? It does. If you say Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere, you're putting God into space out of heaven. You're putting God into spatial terms, right? You're not allowed to do that. If Hashem is in reality,
everywhere.
Nowhere.
And everywhere.
Beyond the
He's
nowhere.
Everywhere.
Hashem is
everywhere.
What?
Everywhere and nowhere.
Everywhere means here. Nowhere means he exists in a different dimension than the dimension which has where as one of his properties.
I think Hashem is not only everywhere, he's not in your body.
That's right. Okay, very good.
So, but then, right, but the nowhere is continuously everywhere, making that everywhere exist.
Did you understand what you just said?
What?
Did you understand what you just said?
Yeah, the nowhere idea that you're saying, that Hashem, you're saying, is nowhere, right? So Hashem is nowhere. But Hashem is constantly sustaining everything all the time and making it exist. And that's everywhere. So therefore...
That's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
No, it means Hashem, the manifestation of Hashem's existence is everywhere, but not Hashem himself. In other words, everything, every astonishing thing indicates that there's a God who created, yes, but that's not Hashem. That's the indication of God having created it.
But on deeper level, what is Hashem? Hashem is everything.
No, see, you're making the same mistake that they attributed to the early Hasidim.
No, because Hashem, you can't have something separate from Hashem. How can you have something separate from Hashem?
You're being
Derek Hashem says that it's a total unity.
Ron just fell into the classic trap of pantheism.
The pantheism.
What?
Knock on wood.
Yeah, knock on wood, right. Pantheism is the belief that God is in the table. Or God is in the chair.
Oh, like Buddhism.
What? Well, I know the Buddhism is the same thing precisely, but it's a similar concept. In other words, that God is everything. It's not true. God is nothing. Right? God is nowhere and no thing. Right?
Right.